Today we're talking about the one-of-a-kind ravens, and we're looking at a story that was brought up in our skit in the Bible, 1 Kings chapter 17. And in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, the Bible begins a story about a man named Elijah the Tishbite. And the Bible doesn't tell us a lot about Elijah. Sometimes when you read about a prophet in the Bible or a person in the Bible, it tells you where they came from and some of their, you know, background. But we don't have that with Elijah. The Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there will not be dew or rain these years except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.'" How many of you have ever been fed by a bird? Nobody. Well, Elijah was fed by birds. The ravens, God said, would feed him there. And the Bible tells us that Elijah, in verse 5, went and did according to the word of the Lord. And he went and stayed by the brook Cherith. So I'm going to imagine that that's where I am here, teeming with life here, the brook Cherith. And it says, "The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." Of course, that's what Elijah had said, that there wasn't going to be any rain. "And then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. I have commanded a widow to provide for you.'" Now, that's all we're going to look at in the Bible, but there are some things in this story that I think are very important for us to know. One of my favorite texts in the Bible is in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. And it tells us there that all the things that are written in the Bible are written as lessons for us, to give us hope, to give us encouragement. And that's what this story of ravens does for me, and I think it will for you before we're all done. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of James chapter 5 that Elijah had been praying that it wouldn't rain. Now, it doesn't tell us that in 1 Kings, but it tells us that in the book of James, that Elijah had been praying that it wouldn't rain. Elijah was troubled with the spiritual state of God's people there in the land, and he was praying that God would somehow get their attention. And God told him to go tell Ahab that he was going to bring a drought on the land. Now, I want you to understand something that I think is very important that a lot of people don't realize, and that is that God is the benefactor of all mankind. All good things come from God, the Bible says. Jesus says that God makes the rain to shine on the good and the bad in Matthew chapter 5. Have you ever read that before? God is the one that provides us with all of our blessings. But do we always appreciate the blessings God gives us? Yes or no? We don't always appreciate those blessings. God's people were turning away from Him in the time of Elijah, and they were being led to worship the false god Baal. And they were beginning to give Baal the credit for all of the good things that God was giving them. Is it possible for us sometimes not to appreciate the blessings God gives us and to give the credit to somebody else? Maybe I provide well for my family because I worked hard in school and I got a good education and I have a good job. I'll pat myself on the back. Is that why I'm able to provide for my family? Or is it because God has helped me to get a good education, that God has given me wisdom to understand things with and hands to work with? Doesn't God deserve the credit? Well, God's people had forgotten that. And so God sent a drought upon His people. He withheld His blessings. In fact, in one of my favorite books, the book is a book about God and his dealings with his people called patriarchs and prophets, the author writes that God speaks to his people in blessings bestowed. God gives us blessings because he loves us and he wants us to know his love for us, so he gives us blessings. But it goes on to say, when these are not appreciated, he speaks to his people in blessings removed, that they may be led to see their sins and return to him with all their heart. And so it was in the days of Elijah that when the people didn't appreciate the blessings, God allowed the blessings to go away. He took away the rain. And he allowed them to call out to their god Baal to see if Baal could send the rain. Could Baal send the rain? No. Baal couldn't give the blessings. Only God could give the blessings. And God wanted his people to realize that. Now, what's interesting is he sent Elijah by the brook because if there wasn't going to be any rain, then there wouldn't be any water to drink. Things would dry up. But God had a place prepared for Elijah, and he sent him by the brook. And by the brook, he could get water to drink. But where was he going to get his food from? The ravens, right? The ravens brought him food. Now, I want you to put yourself in the place of Elijah. And you're in a time and a place where you need to... How often do we have to have water? We've got to have water to drink all the time, don't we? How often do we have to have food to eat? We have to have it every day. And so God gave water and food to Elijah. He took care of him. And it's important to understand that when hard times came, God did not take Elijah away from the hard times, but he helped him through the hard times. The same drought that came across the whole land came upon Elijah too, didn't it? The drought that God allowed to come upon the people for their disobedience to God even came upon the man who obeyed God. Right? And so Elijah had to deal with a drought just like everybody else. God didn't take him out of the trouble, and God doesn't promise to take us out of trouble, does he? But he protects us through the trouble, and he provided for Elijah. So pretend you're Elijah, and there you are, and you're by the brook, and you're getting water to drink every day. But what happened? What did the Bible say happened in our story? The brook dried up. What would you do if you're Elijah and you said, God is protecting me. God is taking care of me. He's giving me water to drink. And every day you go out to get a drink. And one day you go out to the brook and you're going to get a drink. And you're really thirsty, by the way. And you go out and what? It's dried up. What would you do? What would you think? God, what did I do wrong? Are you, why have you left me? Do you think you might say something like that? What happens when your brook dries up? Because we all have brooks that dry up. And it's interesting, in the Bible it doesn't say the brook was drying up. And Elijah noticed it was down to a trickle and said, I better do something different now. It said it dried up. And we don't know how long it was dried up when Elijah came out and there was no water there. And I bet Elijah began to struggle a little bit and say, God, why did you let this happen? Have you ever had a hard time come upon you in your life and you start to ask why God let it happen? Did God forsake Elijah? Did God know the brook was going to dry up? Sure he did. Why did he allow that to happen? Why did he allow it to happen? Why does he allow our brooks to dry up? The same God who provided now took away. Why? I want to suggest to you this morning, Elijah prayed for the people. Elijah prayed for the salvation of God's people. And he knew that in order to get their attention, God may have to do something severe. I heard the story of a man who got trapped in a castle tower high above the ground. He was trapped in the room and there was a window that he could look out, and he looked out and he saw all the people down below, so he began to cry for help. Help! Help! I'm trapped up here! Nobody heard him. Nobody. Then he got an idea. He had some gold coins in his pocket. He said, I'll toss out the gold coins. They'll come down. They'll plink, 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 all on the ground below. And people will hear that. And they'll look up and they'll see me. And so he began to toss out gold coins. What do you think the people did? Oh, gold coins! And they began to go around and pick up all the gold coins. I'm rich! You know what they didn't do? They didn't look up. They were so distracted by the blessings that they didn't stop to look up to see where they were coming from. Well, what was the man going to do? He's trapped up there in that tower. He's yelled. Nobody hears him. He's thrown out the gold coins. Nobody sees him. So he began chipping away at the rock, and he got a piece of mortar loose. You know what mortar is? It's concrete. And he threw that down, and it hit a man in the head and injured him. It didn't kill the man. And the man just, he fell down when he got hit. And what did everybody do? Now they began to look up. Let's see where that came from, because I don't want that to happen to me. And it got their attention. And sometimes for us, we take for granted the blessings of God. And we don't look up to see where the blessings come from. And sometimes God has to allow difficulties to happen to us to help us to look up. Sometimes we're already looking up and we know where the blessings come from, but we know loved ones who aren't looking up, and so we pray for them like Elijah did. But we don't realize that the same thing that God brings to get their attention, we might have to go through. Elijah had to go through the drought just like the others had to go through the drought. Right? And God provided for him. But those trials and hardships in our life might well be the answers to our prayers, either for ourselves or for others. Sometimes Christians today think that life is supposed to be easy for a follower of God. But where in the Bible do we find that? Where do we ever find God's people having an easy time? Wasn't it the Lord Jesus who told us that the way was difficult? Wasn't it the Apostle Paul who says in Acts 14:22 that it's through much tribulation that we enter the kingdom of God? Why? Because God knows that hard times help us to learn to trust Him in ways that we wouldn't otherwise. I want to share with you a text. If you have your Bibles, you can look at Psalm 119 and verse 71. Psalm 119 and verse 71. What an interesting text this is. And this is what the psalmist writes. He says, it is, what's the next word? It is good for me that I have been afflicted. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. What is it the Apostle James says? He says, we should count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that the trial of our faith produces patience. Right? Now, I'm probably with the rest of everybody here. Nobody likes to jump up and down and be real happy when bad things happen. But I think it's important for us to realize that God knows best what He is doing. God fed Elijah with the ravens, and there came a time when God saw that it wasn't best for Elijah to stay where he was. It was time for him to move, because God had another experience for Elijah. And I want to tell each one of you here today that God has experiences for us and blessings for us that we're only going to be able to achieve as we go through the path God sets before us. There's a book written about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount called Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings. And on page 10 it says, the trials of life are God's workmen to remove the impurities and the roughness from our characters. I don't want you to raise your hands. I hope this is not describing you, but have you ever met somebody who always got their way in life? What kind of people are they? What kind of character do they have? Generally very weak character. Getting our way all the time isn't healthy for us, and God knows that. The trials of life are God's workmen. And I like the next part. It says, upon no useless material does the Master bestow such careful, thorough work. You know, our theme this week was we had a one-of-a-kind, but it was two things. Like on Monday, we had the one-of-a-kind snake and the one-of-a-kind promise. On Tuesday, we had the one-of-a-kind donkey and the one-of-a-kind blessing. Today, we have the one-of-a-kind ravens and the one-of-a-kind workshop. And trials are God's workshop. Hard times are a workshop that God uses to make us the best we can be. To bring out all His purposes in our life. If Elijah had stayed by the brook and everything had gone on, Elijah would have missed out on so many experiences. And you know, if we saw the things that God saw, we wouldn't choose a different pathway than the pathway God takes us through. There's a book, Desire of Ages, on the life of Jesus, on page 224, it says, God never leads His children in a different way than they would choose to be led if they could see the end from the beginning. God sees what we don't see, and He chooses what's best for us, and sometimes we don't see that that path is best. But you know what's amazing about the story is Elijah trusted in God. And he went to Zarephath like God told him to. And he received a great blessing in Zarephath that he wouldn't have received any other way. And I don't doubt today, but that every one of us has some kind of trial or hardship we're going through even now. Life is full of them. Perhaps... We're going through a trial that God has brought to us because we've prayed for something like patience, for example. Has anybody here ever prayed for patience? I always have to remind Christians that Romans 5:1 tells us that tribulation works patience. Pardon me, Romans 5:2. Tribulation, what's tribulation? That's hardships, that's trials. Tribulation works patience or develops patience. So when I'm asking for patience, what does God have to allow me to have? Tribulation. Because it works patience. It produces patience. And so sometimes we say, Lord, help me to be more patient. And then these trials come and say, God, why have you forsaken me? And God says, I'm not forsaking you. I'm answering your prayer. He knows what's best for us, doesn't He? But I like that thing I just read. God does not waste His time on any useless resources. In other words, if He's allowing us to go through hardships, that's because He sees something precious in us. Coal doesn't turn into a diamond without intense pressure. Isn't that right? Gold and silver are not purified without intense heat. And the refiner is not going to give that intense heat and that refining process to a piece of metal he doesn't think is worth it. He's only going to take that time on something that he believes is worth it. And if we're going through hardships in our life, that's because God sees that we're worth it. And I don't want you to forget that. He sees that we're worth it. We're worth it to Him. So I want to finish with a text in 2 Corinthians 4. This is from the Apostle Paul, and it's really an amazing text when you consider the life of the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're looking at verse 17. 2 Corinthians 4, 17, the Apostle Paul starts out by saying, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. How many of you are familiar with Paul's life? Paul, by his own admission, was dishonored. He was hungry. He was homeless and in rags, by the way, at different points of an experience. He was beaten. He was reviled. He was persecuted. He was defamed. And people called him the scum of the earth. And he calls that all light affliction. It's light affliction. It's no big deal. It's just for a moment. Notice, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, that's what he calls this life, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Whatever we go through here is only fitting us for eternity. And in eternity, we'll receive the fullness of the blessing of God. And there will be no more trials there. While we, he goes on to say, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that we don't see are eternal. In a book called My Life Today, on page 185, it says that the Lord wants His people to be happy. You believe that? The Lord wants His people to be happy. And then it goes on to say, we miss very much because we don't grasp the blessings that may be ours in our afflictions. You hear that? No. An affliction, a hard time, there's no blessing in that, is there? But there are always blessings for God's people if they're looking for them. We don't grasp the blessings that may be ours in all our afflictions, all our sufferings and sorrows, all our temptations and trials, all our sadness and griefs, all our persecutions and privations. That's when you're deprived of something. And in short, all things work together for our good. Isn't that what the Bible says in Romans 8:28? All things work together for good to those who are the called of the Lord, called according to His purpose. All experiences and circumstances are God's workmen by which good may be brought to us. Let us look at the light behind the clouds. That makes me think of a time I went out to California. My dad lives in California. Anybody here ever been to California? This was the first time. What's California? Southern California. What's it typically like? Guys, what's California like? You know? It's warm there, isn't it? It's supposed to be warm, and what else? Sunny. Warm and sunny. Jay spent his time in California. He's still partially in California, aren't you, Jay? And my dad, I went out to visit him for the first time in California. And when I was there, my dad always told me how nice and warm and sunny it was. In fact, he said, when we do a job and we're working, we have our tools out, we just leave them out. We don't cover them up. We don't shut the windows. We don't shut the, you know, if you have a putting a roof on a house, you leave it open because it just never rains. Well, I got out to California on a Wednesday night, late. My flight got there. Thursday was a kind of a nice day. And then Friday afternoon, it began to get cold. And colder. And the temperature, we went into Los Angeles, and the temperature dropped to 32 degrees. I said, this is like Ohio. That's where I came from when I went to visit him. 32 degrees, and it began to snow. And I am not making this up. This was my first experience in California. I said, yeah, Dad, right. I believe everything you told me. Because it was now snowing in Southern California. So we went home, and in the snow, it warmed up a little bit more than that. The snow turned to rain, and it rained Friday night, and it rained Saturday, all day Saturday, and Sunday morning. And Sunday afternoon, the storm began to break. And my dad has his pilot's license, and he said, let's go out to the airport, and let's get in a plane, and let's go up. And you have to understand that the skies, it's been rainy and cloudy, and I'll never forget, we got into that rain. How many of you have seen a sunset before? Of course. Sunsets are beautiful, aren't they? Especially when they're reflecting on the clouds, and you see all the clouds are different colors, pinks and oranges and purples. You ever see that before? Well, we went up in the plane. Now, you have to understand that when you go up in the plane, how many of you have been in a plane before? What happens on a cloudy day when you go up in the plane and you go through the clouds? What do you find? The sunshine! And we went up in the plane, and it was cloudy, and the clouds began to break up, and we broke through the clouds, and we came above the clouds, and you know what was there the whole time? The sun. Up there, shining brightly, and the sun was setting, and it was coming through this tunnel of clouds, and it was so beautiful. as the sun reflected off the clouds. And I'll never forget that experience, that all the time that things looked so cloudy to me down here, the sun was up there the whole time. And you know, sometimes we go through times in our life where we're sad and we're discouraged and we're hurting. And things look very cloudy, but God is always above the clouds. He's always there for us. We can always turn to Him. I've gone through a lot of hard times in my life. I lost my grandma. If it wasn't for my grandma's death, I would have never given my heart to Jesus, because that made me look up for the first time in my life. My stepdad died. My wife's father died in a drunk driving accident before she was ever old enough to know him. We've had hardships in our life, but you know, there's a God above all of it. He knows what's best, and we trust. We trust that in the end, He's going to make everything right. And we know right now we can trust in Him. And if you're going through trials in your life, remember that God would not allow it if He didn't see some better purpose. He has your best interest at heart, and God will bring you through the trial. And in the end, you can rejoice and have eternity with Him. Is that your desire today? Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You love us and You care for us, and that even in the cloudiest of times, there's a light above. There's a God who loves and cares for us and cares for our every need. And we pray, Father, that when we find ourselves going through difficult times, we'll not let go of Your hand, but that we'll trust that when we come through the trial, we will be better for it. Our loved ones will be better for it. That there's hope because we have hope in You. I want to thank You so much for our children. I want to thank You for this week in VBS that we had such a good time. And I pray that You would help each one of them to daily give their hearts to You, that we can spend all eternity together in heaven and learn about so many more one-of-a-kind animals that we've never even seen before. And we'd ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.